I'm going to ask you, if you would, this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. Many are the pastors today who be prayerfully proclaiming the Word of God in hopeful anticipation that people would be drawn to the real reason for the season. Let me assure you this morning that a God-called, God-sent man of God has but one primary concern on his heart as he proclaims the gospel at this time of the year. He does it, namely, that the message at the heart of Christmas be told. Namely, to the end that saved sinners be challenged and encouraged, as well as lost sinners be forgiven of their sin and gain assurance of spending eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. So with this truth stated, let me share with you a passage of Scripture that I believe the Holy Spirit will use today to the end that the message at the heart of Christmas be preached here this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now you'll notice right quickly that this passage is void of many of the traditional Christmas sermons. No star in the sky, no wise men from afar, no angelic host singing glory to God in the highest, no Joseph, no Mary, no Herod, no shepherds, no sheep, no wind, no manger. No gold, no frankincense, no myrrh. None of that. Just Jesus. Just Jesus, the Jew. And the Jewish people, and even the Gentile. Just those that have been saved and those that need to be. And yes, even those that will be. Just truth. It's my heartfelt prayer this morning that what God has called my attention to in this passage of Scripture will prove to be a blessing in every single life here this morning, to the end that each of us would have a better, a fuller, a more biblical understanding, grasp of the message at the heart of Christmas. So I've entitled the message this morning, The Message at the Heart of Christmas. I have several things I'm going to call your attention to. First of all, in verse 11, rejection is the message at the heart of Christmas. You cannot preach a Christmas message without the inclusion of rejection. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Rejection. Now I want you to imagine with me just for a few moments how significant this truth really is. Well, you don't have to imagine it, do you? Really, I mean, just read the first 10 verses with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Isn't it amazing? Just between verse 3 and verse, verse 5 and verse 6, you see our attention being drawn to the one who spoke and everything created. He's life. He's light. And then all of a sudden, I mean, all that's in your mind. Then all of a sudden you read, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. Verse 7. The same man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Now he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He who spoke the very creation into existence sent a man named John as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All men through him might believe. Not just the Jew, but the Gentile as well. Yes, God gave to the Jewish people a great privilege, a great advantage. Yet with this advantage, with this privilege, came great responsibility, and because they rejected the message at the heart of Christmas, Jesus, they forfeited, if you will, light, life, love. And there's a consequence. They who'd been given the oracles of God, as Paul said, over in his letter to the church at Rome, they had said no to him. I love this passage in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Oh, there's many advantages. God said so. In the Word of God, chapter after chapter after chapter. Genesis 19:6, Deuteronomy. Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly, for most of all, first, because that unto them were committed the very oracles of God. Psalm 147, verse 19. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. God chose them to bless them in a special way. And they said no. Brothers and sisters, the psalmist speaks of it. Paul speaks of it. And what's the consequence of it? Over there in Romans chapter 3, listen to what Paul says. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yes, rejection is the message at the heart of Christmas. Some men just simply say no. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it's written, that thou mightest be justified in your sayings, and you might overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, yet why am I also judged a sinner? And not rather as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we've been saying, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Yes, they reject, and then they cover up their rejection with a lie, and they malign, slander those who, like John, preach the message of light and love and light. You cannot preach a Christ-centered Christmas message without preaching the rejection of certain who he's come to, he's revealed himself to in some degree, and they simply say, no. Are we better than they are? No. And no wise are we. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, listen, Christmas, incarnation, listen to what he's saying. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, circle all, and upon all, circle upon all, them that believe. Now, this is very key, very significant, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Though the forbearance of God, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Rejection is the message at the heart of the Christmas story. But also, look in verse 12. Reception is the message at the heart of Christmas. Verse 11 says, what? He came unto his own and his own received him not, but, contrast, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Reception is the message at the heart of Christmas. When we read, but as many as received of him, we need to pause right there and just say to him, those of us that have received him, thank God you came. Thank God you were sent. That's the message at the heart of Christmas. Many, in fact, rejected, but the Bible says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Let me ask a question. Are you, this morning, as you sit here listening to me, are you one of the many? Now that's an important question. Are you one of the many? Have you heard that God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Have you heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Have you heard, you who were once dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened, made alive in Christ Jesus? Who used to walk as the children of the world, children in darkness walk, but he has delivered you. Have you heard that? Have you heard that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17? Can I ask you this? Have you to this point rejected the message at the heart of Christmas, or have you in fact by faith, through grace, listen, have you received the message? It's a very important question, and I'll tell you why. Because God's word speaks clearly to the consequence of rejection and also to the blessing of reception. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Listen. And I say unto you, Jesus is speaking here, that many shall come from the east and from the west, and they shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I love that. That's a glorious number, many. That gives a preacher, a pastor, a Christian who's a vibrant witness, great encouragement, great hope. Jesus said through the prophet Isaiah that my word will not return unto me void, but will accomplish that whereunto I've sent it. So when you share the gospel at Christmas time or any time, and it seems as though it's falling on ears that care less, that are ears that reject the message at the heart of Christmas, know this, It just might seem that way. It might appear that way. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith in His great love He loved us, He very well may be pleased to plant that seed in some heart. And when you know it not, one day you might see in glory one of those many come up to you and say to you, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. It's the heart of the Christmas story. But also read verse 12 of Matthew chapter 8. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many have heard what you've just heard. Throughout the history of their lives, the length, the experience of their existence on earth, they've heard what you've heard. Many are so familiar with the Christmas story, Matthew 1, Luke 2, and other passages, that they just by memory can just quote to you the Christmas story all the way through. But the sad reality is if you've never done business with the baby in the manger, who became, listen, the body on the cross, who in fact was dead, buried, and resurrected the third day and lives today, if you've never heard Him say, come unto me, all ye who are thirsty, and drink the water of life. If you've never sat down and had Him break the bread and say, this is my body, which is broken for you. And takes the cup and said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you. If you've never ever participated in that communion, listen to me. Verse 12 should speak volumes to you right now. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the message at the heart of Christmas is a message of rejection. Year after year after year, people participate in the wrappings and the trappings, the pups, if you will, of the Christmas story. But all of this is more than a nativity. All of this is more than a cantata. All of this is more than a production. This is life. And this life is the light of man, and you must be born again. There's people sitting in here today. There's families here today. That they know it's Christmas. They know what it's about. But really, they've not focused their attention by the Spirit and the Word on really the real reason for the season. They keep rejecting year after year after year. God is still preaching. Though many have heard and rejected, listen, many others have heard and received the word of truth. And because they did, they received the word of forgiveness, the word of hope, the word of encouragement, the word of comfort, the word that, hey, says, listen, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In this world, you'll have many troubles. Marvel not if you do. I have overcome the world. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange has happened to you. But listen, count it all glory when you're counted worthy to suffer for my name's sake. Thank God. There's many that have heard and received the word and received forgiveness and are presently a part of the family of God with a place in heaven prepared for them. Even as I'm speaking, that preparation is ongoing. But the question must be asked again, what about you? Rejection is the message at the heart of the Christmas story. But reception, praise God, is also a part of the message at the heart of Christmas. If you look there in verse 12, there's a phrase that gripped my heart this week. I shared it in our Sunday school class this morning because as Eric was teaching and he made reference, it just rung a bell with me and I'm going to call attention to it. It's not in my notes, it's on my heart, but look at there. He came unto his own and his own received him not, rejection, but as many as received him, reception, listen to them, to those that received. Listen, gave he power to become the sons of God. My third point is simply this: reconciliation is the message at the heart of Christmas. Reconcile. What does it mean? Listen, it means this. I'm just going to paraphrase it. This is the paraphrase according to David McCaffrey. Kiss and make up. To settle one's differences. The word in the theological context calls attention to what was severed. You remember in the garden when man sinned, Adam sinned, Eve sinned? There was enmity. You know what that means? Separation. In other words, God's holy and He cannot abide in sinfulness, so He put up that enmity. And He placed them outside. He put those flaming angels up. But yet in His graciousness, He still took care of them. He still provided for them. He still met with them. He provided a way for them to come and to offer unto Him. But that wasn't reconciliation. That was, I believe, God's way of simply saying all through human history, there is something more. There's something more available to you. Our relationship has been severed. I created you, man, but I want you as sons and daughters. Listen to me. We once walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Oh, what a pure, sweet communion we had. But sin, Satan came in and that severed, and I'm going to make a way. Christmas is about reconciliation. That's the message at the heart of Christmas. To them gave He power. Your translation might say authority. Now, I'm going to try my best to just illustrate this point. To them, He gave He power to become the sons of God. Are we not, when we're born again, sons and daughters of God? Yes, we are. But I believe the Spirit of God is calling attention to something a little more than just being granted permission to come into the Father's house. Anybody here, when you were a child, get sideways with your mom and dad? Let's just put your father there if he was in the home, or maybe it's your mother, but just, you got sideways and you know you did wrong, and there for a period of time you just made your mind up, you know, I'm going to stay gone a while, or I'm not going to stay in their presence a while, and then finally, you know, you get the better. It's the Luke 15 story where the prodigal, the wasteful son, goes and he spends all of his inheritance and righteous living. He comes to the end of himself. He's in the pig pen. That kind of a thought. Maybe you're not that far, but you know, pride keeps you from saying, I'll go home. But then finally you realize, man, I got, hey, something going on here. My mama does love me. My daddy does love me. And though I got really angry at them, they did what they did. They said what they said because they loved me. And I got to get the end of this. I got to let this go. And you make your way back, and guess what you're going to find? You're going to find mom and dad just standing there waiting on you. You've been there and all, and they said, well, come on. And you come in through the threshold, and you come into the living room there, whatever, and you know, and then pretty soon it becomes dinner time, and everybody's gathering around the table now. In your life and in your mind, you're already playing it out. You know the situation, whatever it is. And then finally you come there, and you're sitting down, and right before you begin to eat, perhaps you prayed, perhaps you didn't, you with the family, you realize that even though you're in the house, there's more to it than this. There's just something that seems to be hindering. It's not been spoken yet. Yeah, we've said we're sorry and all that, but yes, there's something. Well, that feeling, and I've got it right now, I know what I'm talking about because I've lived it many times in my life. It's something that screams out, I need to make this right. To them gave He power to become the sons of God is referring to a maturity, a maturing, Corey, a thing that says simply, I need to judge myself here and see if I'm really in the fellowship with my Father like I'd like to think that I am. Because that word is authority as well. Now, if you look over in chapter 5, of John's gospel. Just turn a few pages to the right, and I want you to look in verses 26 and 7. Now, this is the way the Father and the Son, our God in heaven, the Holy Father in heaven and His Son had communion. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He, the Father, given to the Son Jesus to have life in Himself. Listen, here's the reason. And He's given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Now listen to me closely. As the Father hath life in Himself, and He giveth to the Son life in Himself, listen to me, The Holy Spirit gives life to you and to me as well in here, for the purpose that we might execute judgment in here, judge ourselves, lest we be judged, judge ourselves, and then take that ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We are now ambassadors for Christ, and he has entrusted to us this ministry. Now, what does Paul call attention to? He calls it the ministry of reconciliation. We're to go and to tell men and women outside the family of God, listen to me, hey, you can be reconciled. God wants to kiss and make up. That's the Christmas story. That's why he came. That's why he came as a baby. Are you threatened by a baby? As Eric said about Lyric, she's totally helpless. He doesn't love her for what she can do for him. She can't do a thing for him except this. And she doesn't even know she's doing it. But he gives and lavishes his love and his support and his encouragement, everything he's got, to her, to lift her. Now listen to me. Reconciliation. You say, I'm a part of God's family. I've received. I know I am. But listen to me. You know right now there's something that's left unaddressed. You've not executed this judgment. You've allowed that sin that so easily besets you, that stumbling block of iniquity, whatsoever it is in your life, you've allowed that to stay between you and your Father. And he simply say, no, don't live that way. Come on. Now let me illustrate it further in Luke 15. The elder brother, he didn't ask for his inheritance. He didn't go out and blow it on himself and on wild women and party, wine, women, and song. He didn't find himself there. But you know what the lesson in Luke 15 is that there's people just like the elder brother who are wasting their God-given birthright. Let me tell you what I believe this is teaching. It's teaching that you and I not only have been reconciled through the blood, but because of that reconciliation through the blood, we can just pull our chair up and sit at our Father's table and just eat to the full and sit there and, hey, save the fort because you know the best part's coming. There's more than you and I have ever experienced in the Father's house. Reconciliation. It's at least this. We've been given the privileges of the birthright. But along with the great authority that we've been given, he's my daddy. And the great privileges I've been given, he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. There's great responsibility. Therefore, walk worthy of the vocation to wherewith you've been called. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us to observe all things and to deny our ungodliness, our worldly lust, and to serve him and look for his glorious appearing, his soon coming. You know the story. The message at the heart of Christmas is the message of reconciliation. It's the word Paul speaks of, and it's what John preached. Look there in verses 6 through 10 of John chapter 1. Just look up above there. This is what he preached. He said, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. He knew that. He knew he was sent to bear witness of that light. That true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now here's my fourth point. The rejection, reception, reconciliation is the message at the heart of Christmas. But number four, listen, revelation. Revelation is the message at the heart of Christmas. Look in verse 12 and verse 13. Even to them that believe on his name. Now that's not an initial confession of sin, an initial confession that he's the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ that died on the cross to save your sin. It is that, but it's a lot more than that. That word believe means who walks habitually in obedience to the will, the statutes, the judgments of God. That's what he's talking about. He came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in his name. Now read verse 13. Which were born not of blood, so it's not a physical birth. Listen. Nor of the will of the flesh, you couldn't plan it. Listen to me good. You didn't plan your second birth. You didn't come into the family of God according to your timetable. You didn't think, well, I reckon it's about time. If you did, I got news for you. Ooh, I'd worry about that. No, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or, what's it say, nor of the will of man. No, listen to me. I love that verse. John chapter 1, verse 13. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but listen, but of God. Revelation is the message at the heart of Christmas. I want you to see at this point here that there's a connection that the Spirit's making between the word believe and the word power. The connection is made in verse 13. Because right here in this verse is the message at the heart of Christmas revelation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19. God was in the manger. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Revelation. Now, in our minds, it's okay to put that star in the sky because it should be there. In our hearts and minds, Corby, it's okay, Hope, to go ahead and put those wise men bringing that gold, frankincense, and myrrh from way over yonder to right there. Yeah, go ahead and do it. Put the sheep around it, the angelic host singing and praising God. I mean, take every bit of those things that are biblical, traditional, and now just gather around it, because now our focus won't be on those things. It'll be on God who is in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Revelation. I had a whole lot of Christmases before I got saved, and I enjoyed every one of them, for the most part. But I can tell you one thing, since I've been saved, and now that I'm growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. This world can get caught up in it, and they can talk about the numbers and the business and economic indicators, credit card debt and all that. Can I just share this with you? I've been set free from that. I know what it's about now. It's about my eternal soul. And every pastor, as I started, told you, they want to stand in the pulpits this morning with all their programs and cantatas and all the hymns and the wreaths and all this beautiful poinsettias and all the color. There's not a better time in the world. Listen to me. There's two things that I want to say to you. One you have control over and the other you don't. If you're planning to get married sometime, listen, I'm telling you, I don't think you can pick a better time, ladies, to get married than at Christmas. I mean, the decorations are done. Or if you even have a funeral, you ain't going to pick that one. Chris passed away and he didn't know when, but I'm going to tell you right now, it was a pretty good deal here the other day. Because I know where he's at. This thing pales. This is ugly compared to what he's experiencing. But I'm going to say this to you. Listen to me. God reveals himself to us. You can't do it, I can't do it. Man cannot find God. I want you to get that. If you don't get anything theologically, you need to lay all this down. You will not find God. He's a pretty good hider. Now you'll see existence, you'll see proof that he is, but you won't find him, not in the eternal sense or the salvation sense. You won't do it. You cannot research yourself or study yourself into salvation. You can't do it. Now I know people like Lee Strobel and all these others, they've studied the Word of God from a critical or a negative standpoint, but God, who is rich in mercy, revealed himself to him in that process. I know men that have studied and critiqued the Bible for decades and they're going to die lost if God doesn't show up. It's impossible. When the Bible says in Romans 3 that no man even seeks after God, that's what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says over in John chapter 6? Listen to this, verse 44. Jesus said it. Here's what he says. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. In other words, there has to be revelation. Do you think Saul of Tarsus was thinking about being born again, or is he going to Damascus to find Jesus? No, he is going to find his folk, and he's going to bring them back, prosecute, imprison, perhaps even kill. But on that road, the Bible tells us, light. And they saw, Saul. You listen to me. The Bible tells us by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. What? Even to them that believe on his name. The gift. I believe is the gift of faith. To believe. Revelation. Praise God. I know what Christmas really means. Let me close. Verse 14. I can preach there forever, but I won't. And the Word was made flesh. Revelation exemplified. Revelation testified. John knew. He'd write later in his first epistle, we have put our hands on it. We have touched him. Let me just tell you the way he starts his first epistle. That which was from the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says in 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. So he's laying it out. I know who Jesus is. That's what John's saying to you. Rejection, reception, reconciliation, revelation, reflection. Reflection, verse 14, John 1. Reflection is the message at the heart of Christmas. I love this. Let me just read to what he says in 1 John. For the life was manifested and we've seen it. And we bear witness, just like John bore witness, we bear witness and we show it to you, that eternal life. I love this. Which was with the Father, but was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us, be reconciled to God. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Brothers and sisters and friends, reflection is the message at the heart of Christmas. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John is inspired here by the Spirit of God to do this. Think deeply, John. Think deeply, ruminate, contemplate, John, on what you're writing. He goes 13 verses. He goes that long, and then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God in exalting praise says, the Word, which was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, that Word. Is flesh. Come to the cradle. Come to the cradle. Come and find peace. Alone in that cradle, simplicity sleeps. Forsake earthly wisdom and just come and kneel there, and you'll see that God, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, wise men from afar, there's God. And Simeon saw it. Simeon on day 8 of his life, day 8 of his earthly life, took that baby in his arms. And he took that child and lifted him up right in the presence of his mother Mary and the Father in heaven and his earthly caregiver Joseph. He says, this child is set for the rising and the fall of many in Israel. And since that day to this one, many have risen and many have fallen. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When the unrighteous are in leadership, the people mourn. Yeah, God's given us what we deserve here, what we've desired here. But Simeon also said he's the light to enlighten the Gentiles as well. Praise his holy name. Reflect on that, John. Mull it over. All that you've personally witnessed, all that you've written, all that your eyes have seen and the glory that you beheld and your hands have handled. He said, think about it, John. Think about your receiving of the truth, your reception of the truth, your reconciling to God by grace through faith in Jesus. John knew that God revealed himself to himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew it. And oh the glory that filled his soul. He said it's full. It's full of grace and it's full of truth. That's the message at the heart of Christmas. Rejection, reception, reconciliation, revelation, and reflection. As you pray, Father, we pause at this time for the purpose of reflecting. You see, the message at the heart of Christmas is that the Word was made flesh, listen, to die. As you stand to your feet, this altar, I believe, just reaches out and says, come. Perhaps you're here and many, many Christmases you've heard the story of Christmas. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. We three kings of Orient are. Listen. Perhaps you can hear the bleating of sheep. I see a star in the sky. Perhaps you see that manger, that inn that could not fit him. His family that night. No room, no room in the inn, perhaps. But perhaps you see Jesus, just Jesus. And to this point, you've really never ever received him. You've not been antagonistic, but you've not been receptive either. You've rejected time and time and time again the gift that God gave to the world. You see, God the Father put his Christmas tree on a hill called Golgotha. And he put his gift on the tree. And he died, decorated in crimson red, drained of life itself. Buried. Darkness. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he hath loved us, has raised us up with Christ in the heavenlies. Will you come to him today and receive him, his pardon for sin?